in the space of not much more than an hour, Job lost all his oxen, donkeys, sheep, camels, many servants, and finally all seven of his children. In the next chapter, Job gets sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And all this comes about because God in heaven is bragging to Satan about Job. There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Satan challenges God, saying, Job is that way because you give him everything. If it were all taken away, Satan says, he would curse you. God allows Satan to do that. Job tears his robe and shaves his head. He worships God. Job's only comment after the first loss is, naked I came, naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Satan and God talk again. Satan says, if he were afflicted physically, he would curse you. God allows Satan to do that. Job's reaction is to take a potsherd to scrape his sores, and he then sits himself down in the ashes. Job's only comment after that, shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? Three of Job's friends come. They sit in silence with him for 7 days and seven nights. Now, that's a horrible story. It's a story that never actually really happened. It takes place in a place called Uz, which is not Israel, in a time before history. It is 42 chapters of grappling with why bad things happen. The first couple of chapters and the last part, where there is a happy ending, sort of, are told almost like a folktale. Most of the rest of it is written in a poetry rather than a prose style. It's Job maintaining he did not sin, and the three friends telling him he must have done something wrong. And they go around and around and around. Job and his friends assume misfortune comes from God. Different versions of the story are found in ancient writings throughout the Near East. And in some ways, it's easy to see why. This is an issue every religion has to grapple with. The Talmud, which is a record of rabbinic debates in the 2nd to 5th century about Hebrew scriptures, in it, they call the story an allegory. A story that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. Job is here for us because every faith community has to acknowledge that innocent suffering does exist. Job represents innocent suffering. Disproportionate amounts of suffering do not indicate personal failing or problems in one's relationship with God. We still see people reflecting those positions today in our times. We talked about something similar before, a couple of months ago. God is not a rabbit's foot. Being a Christian does not mean nothing bad ever happens to you. It means that God accompanies us through our tough times. We don't know God as someone who seeks to punish. The exact opposite, in fact. We know God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. And Jesus' death brings us salvation, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life. The allegory of Job is not dissimilar to the parables that Jesus used to teach. The one that came to mind for me when reading Job was the tale of the laborers in the vineyard. You probably heard sermons about it. There's a landowner. He goes out to find workers early in the morning. he and the workers agree on the amount he will pay for a full day's work. Four more times in the day, he goes out and gets more workers. And in the end, he gives everyone the exact same amount of money, whether they work 2 hours or the whole day. When the folks who worked all day react negatively, he says, I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. That is what we find in a community of faith. Each of us gets the same thing from Jesus and God. We are loved equally, saved from sin, granted eternal life. These are what all the members of a community of faith receive. And I would add one more from Job. We receive what the three friends gave Job, not the 31 chapters of arguing, but the 7 days and 7 nights of sitting with him in silence. That's another part of being part of a faith community. Just as we saw, just as we say that God accompanies us through sorrow, y'all walk with each other through the sorrows that ineluctably come. You showed how you do that as a community just last week. Now, I've been writing a memo for Pastor Craig to help him with transition in, so I've been asking everybody, how did you handle the switch when there were two services? Like, what had to happen? What was the struggle? What do we need to know? No one can remember. But when it came to putting together a reception for a family mourning one of your own, it was like you all had the muscle memory for that. It came together like you had done it last month, not about 2.5 years ago. Worshiping and coming alongside when someone needs it is what a faith community does. And it's what this community here at Faith is. It has been a joy for me to be church with you over the past 6 months. Thank you so much for letting me come alongside with you for this time. Amen.